Two men stand before a room full of skeptical parents whose children have been court-ordered to a wilderness camp for troubled teens. One is Arab, the other Jewish, former enemies whose fathers were killed by each other's ethnic cousins. Yet here they are, running Camp Moriah together, about to deliver a message no one expects. Your children aren't the problem. You are. Lou Herbert, a former Marine and successful businessman, bristles at this suggestion. His son Corey is the one with drug offenses and a court record. How could Lou possibly be the issue? But as Yusuf Al-Falah and Avi Rosen begin their workshop, they reveal something startling. Most of our effort goes into dealing with things going wrong when it should focus on helping things go right. We correct, criticize, and control, yet genuine change emerges from teaching, listening, and building authentic relationships. This isn't just parenting advice. It's a fundamental truth about human influence that applies whether you're managing employees, navigating marriage, or trying to understand why your teenager won't speak to you. Any action can be performed in two completely different ways. You can ask someone to do the dishes with a heart at peace, seeing them as a person with their own struggles, or with a heart at war, viewing them as an obstacle to your clean kitchen. The action is identical. The internal stance transforms everything. Yusuf illustrates this with Saladin, the 12th century Muslim leader who recaptured Jerusalem. While Christian crusaders slaughtered civilians in 1099, Saladin's 1187 reconquest protected everyone, Muslims, Jews, and Christians alike. Lou assumes this means Saladin was weak, but Avi corrects him. Saladin's military success came because his heart remained at peace. Seeing enemies as people made him more effective, not less. This introduces the collusion diagram. When Avi asks his wife Hannah to edge the lawn, she questions why. He sees her as demanding. He protests. She sees him as self-centered. Each person provokes exactly what they're complaining about. We create the very behavior we claim to despise in others. Even pursuing correct objectives can be wrong if our hearts are warring. Lou recalls a pivotal childhood memory, accidentally letting his father's brand new Buick roll into the Hudson River. Instead of erupting, his father simply said, "Well, I guess you'll have to take the truck then." That moment taught Lou more about character than any lecture. His father's heart remained undisturbed, even facing significant loss. Carol shares her struggle with bulimia. When she finally confessed, expecting judgment, Lou responded with compassion, holding her hand, asking how he could help. Being right about eating disorders didn't require being harsh. Yusuf emphasizes that while their positions haven't changed, their ability to find solutions has dramatically improved because they now see each other as people rather than problems. When we recognize others have lives as rich and complicated as our own, we naturally invite cooperation rather than resistance. This internal transformation, ending the wars within ourselves, must precede any meaningful resolution of external conflicts. During a break, Lou apologizes to his secretary for yesterday's outburst. Encouraged, he calls Kate Stenerud, the executive he fired, but the conversation goes poorly. When he contacts union president John Rencher, Lou starts kindly but explodes with threats at the mention of a strike. Furious at his failure, Lou declares the workshop worthless and tells Carol they're leaving. Her response? If he leaves Camp Moriah, she'll leave him. This reveals how quickly we slide from peace to war. Yusuf explains the mechanism: self-betrayal, violating our own sensibilities toward others. When we ignore an impulse to help someone, we immediately begin seeing the world in ways that justify our self-betrayal. We create boxes of self-justification that distort reality. These boxes come in four varieties: better than, positioning ourselves as superior; worse than, casting ourselves as victims; I deserve, believing we're entitled; and need to be seen as, maintaining a certain image. Lou's sleepless night confronts years of accumulated self-betrayals, missed dinners, forgotten promises, emotional distance, each justified with work obligations. His morning apology to Carol represents stepping out of his self-justifying box. Yusuf shares how two Camp Moriah staff members tracked runaway teen Jenny through Phoenix streets for 6 hours. When they noticed her feet bleeding from walking barefoot on hot pavement, they removed their own shoes and walked barefoot alongside her. This act of shared suffering broke through Jenny's defenses. She stopped running and enrolled in the program. Mai Lee explains they were joining Jenny in her world rather than treating her as a problem to solve. Yusuf challenges Liu to examine which workplace privileges he maintains, not from necessity, but because he believes he's better than others. Liu realizes his former COO, Kate, consistently refused special treatment, helping cleaning crews, parking at the far end of the lot. While Liu had criticized her for wasting time, he now sees these actions reflected her character. With his company in crisis, Liu makes a breakthrough admission. "I'm the mess." Yusuf responds, "If you are the mess, you can clean it." Acknowledging our contribution to problems is the first step toward meaningful change. Avi explains escaping self-justifying boxes by recognizing we can be in and out of the box simultaneously across different relationships. We always have access to peaceful places through untainted relationships, memories, or experiences. The process involves recognizing box signs, finding an out-of-the-box place, pondering situations anew from this clearer perspective, and acting on discoveries. Yusuf's journey exemplifies transformation's possibility. A Palestinian militant who joined Fatah at 16 and built a network of 5,000 followers. Despite profound bitterness following the devastating 1967 defeat, he eventually found peace, demonstrating change is possible regardless of past experiences. Yusuf introduces the influence pyramid, showing how to transform conflict into cooperation. At the apex is correct, the ineffective impulse to directly change others. The foundation is get out of the box / obtain a heart at peace. Between these lie critical steps: teach and communicate, listen and learn, build the relationship, and build relationships with others who impact the person you're trying to help. Most effort should be invested in lower levels, proactively building foundations rather than repeatedly addressing surface problems. When facing resistance at any level, the solution lies at a lower level. Liu realizes that before attempting to correct workplace dynamics with Kate, he must first rebuild their damaged relationship, starting with returning a borrowed ladder, both practical and symbolic. Camp Moriah takes its name from Mount Moriah in Jerusalem, where Abraham nearly sacrificed Isaac and Muhammad ascended to heaven. This sacred yet contested site symbolizes how meaningful spaces can become battlegrounds. Our homes, workplaces, and communities contain similar Mount Moriahs, issues that become emotional and spiritual conflicts. These manifest everywhere. Unwashed dishes become battles for respect. Financial disagreements mask security fears. Workplace tensions reflect struggles for recognition. Parent-teenager curfew clashes represent competing needs for independence and safety, not just time management. Lasting solutions require addressing inner conflicts first, the biases, fears, and unmet needs fueling external disputes. This transformation happens by actively extending our out-of-the-box spaces, choosing to see beyond immediate reactions and recognize others' humanity. Your Mount Moriah awaits, not on distant battlefields, but in today's difficult conversation, tomorrow's tense meeting, next week's family gathering. The question isn't whether conflict will come, but whether you'll meet it with a heart at war or peace.